Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
If you've been following my program, you know that I just finished a five-part series, really beginning based on an article by T.A. McMahon of the Berean Call, called A Berean Exercise, Christian Magazines. And this was part one. I haven't got to the second part of that, part of that article in the next month's newsletter from the Berean Call. But I had stretched that out and pursued some things pursuant to the article that Mr. McMahon had written concerning Christianity Today and Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, just when you thought we could move on and be through with Christianity Today magazine, this so-called Christian magazine, guess what? What's in the news? Well, recently, as probably many of you have read, Christianity Today has gone on record, and we're going to look at an article that they just put out. And, you know, I didn't plan this. I did not plan the timing, of course. God knows everything about timing. And I believe that this was just a bit of providence here concerning the series I just did on Christianity Today, because I had no idea that this other article would come up that they wrote. You know, I did a series some time ago, and I explained that my computer had crashed, and I never completed that series on fake Christian magazines, which I will go back to in the future. And I never got around to Christianity Today. They were actually the next to last fake Christian magazine that I was going to deal with. So when I saw that Mr. McMahon had done his series, I thought, well, this would be good to go back now and jump right back in on that series that I was doing, which I will be doing on down the road a bit. I have been looking at Christianity Today for now, and then we will go back in the future and look at some of the past issues, and where you can see they went off the rails long ago and pursued a lot of bad things. At least they're consistent about that. They're consistently bad. But anyway, like I say, what's in the news? Well, they had an article, and let's see if I've got that date here. It's from December 19th, or at least it was posted on the internet, December 19th, 2019. Trump should be removed from office. Now, I'm going to read some of the article, as is my custom, give it straight from the horse's mouth, and then my comments to follow as we go. In there, it says, in our founding documents, and the article is by Mark Galley, who is the editor of Christianity Today. He says, in our founding documents, Billy Graham explains that Christianity Today will help evangelical Christians interpret the news in a manner that reflects their faith. The impeachment of Donald Trump is a significant event in the story of our republic. It requires comment. The typical CT approach is to stay above the fray and allow Christians with different political convictions to make their arguments in the public square, to encourage all to pursue justice according to their convictions, and that their political opposition as charitably as possible. And of course, I inserted mine in my notes, where is the justice for Trump? If you've been following this whole charade, this whole circus that's been going on in the political arena. It says, we want CT to be a place that welcomes Christians from across the political spectrum and reminds everyone that politics is not the end and purpose of our being. We want CT to be a place that welcomes Christians from across the political spectrum. Really? Like Democrats? Well, I guess that's fair. They are a political party. They're certainly as un-Christian as could be imagined, but hey, CT wants to be fair. I think that's what they're trying to say here somehow, that this is a fair article here concerning Donald Trump. Well, anyway, it goes on to say, All right, it says, we want CT to be a place that welcomes Christians from across the political spectrum and reminds everyone that politics is not the end and purpose of our being. In the fact, for instance, that politics does not dominate our homepage. And you know, I was looking at a book by Ray Stedman called How to Live What You Believe, and it's a commentary on the book of Hebrews. And I found this very interesting verse, and I put this on Facebook, but it's very interesting. Page 14 of this book, and this is based on Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, and I'll read 8 and 9. But of the Son, he says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Now, there you have it, folks. There's proof positive from the Scripture that God hates the Democratic Party. All right, because if there ever there was a law, if you look up the word lawlessness, you might find the donkey slogan of the Democratic Party. They are lawless in just about every regards to everything that they promote and are involved in. So I thought that was a nice little point there. Ray Stedman didn't actually mention the Democratic Party, and they're not the only lawless people in the world, but certainly they represent lawlessness to a T. Now, on with the article. It says, that said, we do feel it necessary from time to time to make our own opinions and political matters clear. Always, as Graham encouraged us, doing so with both conviction and love, we love and pray for our presidents. And by the way, of course, you'll hear Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham's response to all of this noise later. Goes on to say, as we love, okay, we love and pray for our president, as we love and pray for leaders as well as ordinary citizens on both sides of the political aisle. And I would say again, just how clueless is Christianity today at how wicked the Democrats and the Democratic Party is. Let's grant this to the president, they say. The Democrats have had it out for him from day one. Well, they got one thing right in the article. And therefore, nearly everything they do is under a cloud of partisan suspicion. Well, there again, they got that right. This has led many to suspect not only motives, but facts in these recent impeachment hearings. You betcha it has. That's my little comment. And no, Mr. Trump did not have a serious opportunity to offer his side of the story in the House hearings on the impeachment. Okay, and that's the end of the article, right? Oh, no, it's not the end. Okay. Well, that would have been a nice place to end it because that's the facts. Mr. Trump did not have a serious opportunity to offer a side story. You would think that'd be the end of the story, but no. The ever-fair Christianity Today, Mark Galley, has a few more things to say. The facts in this instance are unambiguous. The President of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the President's political opponents. That is not only a violation of the Constitution. More importantly, it is profoundly immoral. Of course, I wrote, not true. Biden was a bad actor. Former Vice President Biden was a bad actor. That's what is unambiguous. Biden threatened Ukraine president with withholding funds if he didn't call off the prosecutor in the instance of dealing with some of Biden's actions, etc. You know, this has all been in the news, and you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but I, you know, my reaction, of course, is one of saying, hey, how about giving Trump a break here? You know, that he was trying to deal with corruption that was going on in our government, as opposed to trying to be corrupt as they spend it. Anyway, the reason many are not shocked about this is that this president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. And again, my comment is, I think he's thinking of the Democrats here. He has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. And of course, I added, you know, how would their crimes have anything to do with Trump? You know, if I hired someone and they turned out that they were a crook, is that it's my fault because I hired a crook. That makes me a crook, I guess, right? Anyway, he has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women. Oh, and by the way, I meant to also say, again, these convicted criminals, well, how many of them, like General Flynn, were really in a kangaroo court and who also was deceived by the corrupted individuals in the weaponized compartments of government that the previous administration had put into power. Anyway, the immoral actions they mention in business and relationship to women, well, I believe they're talking about before he was president, and about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slander, is a near-perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused. Of course, I would say that truth-telling is not slander, unlike the fake news slander, which, of course, our president has had to endure from the get-go, from day one. Let's see. The impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all to see. Let's see. This damages the institution of the presidency, damages the reputation of our country, and damages both the spirit and the future of our people. Well, the impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all to see. And I note, but you said he did not have opportunity to tell his side of the story. That sounds like doublespeak to me. None of the president's positives can balance the moral and political danger we face under a leader of such grossly immoral character. Yeah, none of the positives, like doing more for the Christian church worldwide, no more to help fight anti-Semitism and being pro-Israel, etc., etc. His accomplishments are profoundly amazing. Now, he's certainly not perfect, and I would love to see a little more discernment in his dealings with some of the Christian leaders or so-called Christian leaders that are in his fold, but that has not kept him from helping true Christians more so than most any other president, especially the former administration. But anyway, I digress. And of course, there will be refuting articles to come. This is the Christianity Christianity Today article I'm speaking of here. To the many evangelicals who continue to support Mr. Trump in spite of his blackened moral record, we might say this. Remember who you are and whom you serve. Of course, I would say the same to Christianity Today and their half-truths. And then consider what an unbelieving world will say to brush off Mr. Trump's immoral words and behavior in the cause of political expediency. If we don't reverse course now, will anyone take anything we say about justice and righteousness with any seriousness for decades to come? Can we say with a straight face that abortion is a great evil that can't be tolerated, and with the same straight face say that the bent and broken character of our nation's leader doesn't really matter in the end? And my comment would be, yes, we can. That abortion, and sodomite marriage support, illegal immigration, that's that lawlessness, that little lawlessness thing we talked about, anti-Semitism and other various lawless acts of the wicked liberals are no comparison, you know, to their charges about Trump. Do you even know, I say, what the murder of babies means? And who is the perfect person that you have in mind to be our president? You know, when Jesus Christ returns, you know, he's going to be too busy with other things to be president. Sorry about that, Christianity Today. Now, he talks in the article more. He says, that's when the whole game will come crashing down. It will crash down on the reputation of evangelical religion and on the world's understanding of the gospel. And I inserted social gospel because that's the gospel that Christianity Today promotes, not the true gospel. And it will come crashing down on a nation of men and women whose welfare is also our concern. My comments, no, Christianity Today, you have already done that with your promotion of the fake social gospel, liberal emergence, the emergent churches, of course, which I'll get into on down the road when I get into my further treatment of past sins, errors, and heresy promotion of this magazine. Fake mystical Catholic mysticism, well, mystical Catholicism, contemplative prayer and spirituality, among others. And so, you know, we will hear more of the terrible apostasy of this fake Christian magazine if you follow my series in the future. Now, Mark Galley, I believe I heard that he stepped down or that he had already planned to step down before he wrote that article. Either way, hopefully Mark Galley has been removed from his elitist ivory tower. He's just another left-wing hack and a deceiver, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, those are my comments concerning this evil man. Of course, he needs prayer, as all evil people and all unsaved people do. And I would recommend that for you to do for this man. But don't enable him. Certainly don't subscribe to his magazine. By the way, the magazines that I'm commenting on are old magazines that I already had long ago, and I had saved them for the purpose of critiquing them. And I got them probably in thrift stores and other places. I tend to not want to spend too much money supporting evil doers. So here is a nice article, really written to rebuke that article that I just read you, and this is from the Christian Post. Christianity Today and the Problem with Christian Elitism. Now, this is by John Grano and Richard Land. Not familiar with the authors. But this is what we read. Christianity Today editor Mark Galley's lofty op-ed last week calling for President Trump's removal from office touched off a firestorm of criticism and dissent from scores of evangelical leaders, and the backlash and debate have reached critical mass since its publication. Meanwhile, secular media immediately seized upon the CT editorial, and this is where you might want to insert the term useful idiots. That was the term for those who were used by Marxists to achieve Marxist goals without even recognizing that they were being the useful idiots to do so. So this is what the secular media immediately seized upon, the CT editorial, to argue that evangelical support for the president was finally crumbling under the weight of impeachment by the House of Representatives. Of course, in this case, these useful idiots likely are not even Christians themselves. So it's like the secular media using other secular media formats. Anyway, after all, when Christianity Today, the flagship magazine of evangelicals founded by Billy Graham himself, turns against the president, then the long-hoped-for evangelical exodus from Trump must surely finally have commenced. In reality, nothing could be further from the truth, as made clear by the Graham family itself. Franklin divulged that his father knew Donald Trump, believed in Donald Trump, and he voted for Donald Trump. He then went on to say his father believed that Donald Trump was the man for this hour in the history of our nation. You know, there were things that I didn't like about Billy Graham, myself personally. There were things I did like. The old Billy Graham, I didn't like the new evangelicism Billy Graham, the ecumenical side, his involvement with the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, etc. But this is a factual matter here that Franklin, the son of Billy, would not have approved of this article, that for whatever faults Donald Trump has and for whatever faults Billy Graham had, you have to set the record straight that Billy Graham, it says in the article, according to Franklin, believed in Donald Trump and he voted for Donald Trump. So that's setting it straight. Now, there are things about, you know, Trump has surely blessed our country, Christianity and Israel, as I said before. Additionally, almost 200 evangelical leaders signed a joint letter opposing the CT editorial and asserting that CT itself is a shell of its former self and that CT speaks to and for fewer evangelicals with each passing year. I love it. Love to hear that. That's good. I hope it dies. And hopefully, you know, there will be some more good Christian magazines. There are a few still out there. What was the spirit animating CT editor Galley's thunderbolt from on high? The answer is likely found in the self-appointed Mount Olympus from which Mr. Galley made his moral pronouncement. After Trump's election, Mr. Galley bluntly confessed, "I know hardly anyone, let alone any evangelical Christian, who voted for Trump." And I made a note. No, because Jesus himself described those like you as tares, as opposed to wheat. He said the wheat and the tares would grow up alongside each other, and it was hard to distinguish what was true wheat and what was merely a weed. And he was saying that in regards to true Christians and false Christians. I describe evangelicals like me as elite evangelicals, and this class of evangelicals has discovered that we have family members so different they seem like aliens in our midst. And again, that's really where I meant to insert my comment about the wheat and the tares. Yes, they're so different. They're so different than we evangelical elites, you know, because they're really Christians and we're not. Oh, well, wait a minute. I don't think he quite put it that way. They're wheat. And we're tares. These other evangelicals often haven't finished college, and if they have jobs, and apparently a lot of them don't, they are blue-collar jobs or entry-level work. They don't write books or give speeches. They don't attend conferences of evangelicals for social justice or evangelicals for immigration reform. And I would say, thank God, of course not. Unlike you, they're real Christians. They're not involved with the social justice sham gospel, or otherwise known as the social gospel. People like Jim Wallace of Sojourners Magazine, who claimed to deliver about 25% of the vote for Barack Obama. For shame. How despicable someone would claim to be a Christian like Jim Wallace. They are deeply suspicious of mainstream media. Yes, we are. And a lot of them voted for Donald Trump. You betcha. The article goes on. These words are chillingly similar to President Barack Obama's description of rural voters who cling to their guns and Bibles. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's characterization of Trump supporters as deplorables, and most recently, Beto O'Rourke's smug threats against biblically orthodox churches and citizens who own a certain type of rifle. These are the words of elitists who look down upon opponents as inferior human beings who need to be controlled, not debated. I remember somewhere in the Bible, pride cometh before a fall. That's King James. Pride comes before a fall. And these people will fall. It's just a matter of time, of course. They will fall on their knees one day, and they will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll confess with their mouth, and they'll bend their knee, and they will have to be... They will have to say that Jesus is Lord, the true Christ. Hopefully, before that time comes where they're forced to comply with our Lord's sovereignty, that they'll repent, that they'll change, that they'll become changed by God and be part of the family of God. That is the toxic emotional and spiritual stew in which the attitude animating Galley's editorial festered into life. This is, of course, I'm reading the article again. This attitude is distinctly unbiblical. Mr. Galley asks evangelicals supporting Trump to consider how continued support for the president will impede and compromise evangelical witness for Jesus to an unbelieving world. One might well ask Mr. Galley how his obvious elitist disdain and corrosive condensation for fellow Christians with whom he disagrees as ignorant, uneducated aliens in our midst might well damage evangelical witness to an unbelieving world. Unbelievers might well conclude, these Christians preach love for neighbor, but they certainly don't seem to practice what they preach. You may think Trump is a narcissistic, morally challenged, belligerent cad who has no business being president, except for the pesky constitutional fact that over 60 million American voters elected him to it. You may think Trump is a Samson-like hero called to realign the Supreme Court, to redirect the economy toward the American worker, and or to tear down the pillars of deep state corruption in modern Washington. But whatever you think and however you vote, America will certainly survive. And I'm going to pause there and say this. Well, that remains to be seen. God may have to judge America or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, as the good Billy Graham said years ago. And when he made that quote, if God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So remains to be seen whether America is going to survive. But the article goes on to say, and is in significant ways thriving under a Trump presidency, even if it lasts another 4 years. However, our religious and other freedoms will not long survive a government of elites so convinced of their superiority that they are willing to compromise constitutional due process after illegally manipulating the nation's national security and law enforcement apparatus behind the scenes to depose a duly elected sitting president, all the while declaring arrogantly to the American people that it is for their own good. These are the fellow travelers that Christianity Today is clearly aligning itself with at this critical juncture in our nation's history. CT's op-ed does not represent evangelical Christianity today, yesterday, or in the future. You get the play on words there. Christianity today, yesterday, or in the future. CT's disdainful, dismissive, elitist posture towards their fellow Christians may well do far more long-term damage to American Christianity and its witness than any current prudential support for President Trump will ever cause. And I believe, Christianity Today, it has, as I shared, I believe it has caused more long-term damage because it is basically fake news. Now, I would start in on the next section or the next article I wanted to comment on, but I see I've got less than a minute left. So God bless you all. Thank you for joining in. I hope you'll be with us next week. Good night.